Good morning, beautiful people. I'm Jamie Filer, personal trainer and self-development coach. Welcome to your Monday morning mindset shift, where I'm going to teach you how to take what you're thinking and make it better. The glass is always half full, my friends. Today's shift is this. So today we are going to talk about the Phoenix Theory. This is something I'll go through what it means, but for those who aren't familiar, Phoenix is the mythical creature that rises from the ashes, right? In order to become essentially a bigger, better version of itself, right? So, well, 1 second, I'm going to let a couple more people in. So why are we talking about the Phoenix Theory or the Phoenix in general? So I've been helping people with their training, nutrition, supplement, mindset plans for over 17 years now. And the pattern of success is clear. Okay. Regardless of whatever the reason you think you come to me or is, it's always the same. Okay. Whether it's fat loss, muscle gain, mental health, right? Those who ultimately succeed always begin the same way. Okay. They get pissed off. How it started for me. All right. In terms of the physical, I had to get pissed off, right? For those who don't know or know my story, I had an eating disorder from 11 to 21. The reason I got better at 21 specifically is because I realized that if I didn't recover by my 22nd birthday, I would have lived with an eating disorder as long as I would have lived without one. So I got pissed at myself for letting it get to the point where it pretty much defined my identity, right? Because at 11, you don't know who you are, but if you start dieting, that's all you've got, right? So how my fitness journey started was the Phoenix journey, was the Phoenix theory. So what is it specifically? Okay. In mythology, the Phoenix ends its life by bursting into a flame. And from its own ashes, the fiery bird is reborn. And I've always been fascinated with the psychological nature of a physical rebirth, right? Like, as I'm sure some of you are going through, as you start to treat your bodies better, even by drinking more water, right? Forget the whole training, nutrition, supplement thing. Just by drinking more water, you become this new person, right? You feel reinvigorated. So why is it that some people can lose fat, build muscle, and get healthy while others struggle their whole lives without ever getting the body they want, right? Some people, present company excluded, because you guys are on this call, right? They never even get motivated enough to start. They don't even try. This isn't ignorance, because information and education is all around you, right? People know what it means to eat clean, right? You know what it means to move more, get your steps, train hard. And they genuinely know what foods to avoid and which ones to eat, right? So what is the impetus? What is the catalyst for major physical metamorphosis? How does it become a lifestyle instead of just another yo-yo diet or stalled out training program? How do you spot the thing that creates the process? Those who make jaw-dropping physical changes usually follow the same basic path. And this is how we go about it. Stage one, a traumatic event, realization, and awakening. Traumatic events will vary according to the individual and his or her problem. Right? An overweight person might see a photo of themselves that provides a blunt reality check. An underweight individual, right? The 98 pound weakling that gets sand kicked in his face, right? The Joe Atlas cartoon. And really that's just a metaphor for bullying in general. A person might get broken up with by the love of their life for an addiction issue. Right? You essentially hit rock bottom. All of those things, another way of saying you hit your rock bottom, that it, you have a traumatic event, you have a realization. So many people walk around in a willful stupor, They walk around like zombies when it comes to their life. They know that they're unhealthy, or they know that they have an addiction to something, or they know that they're with the wrong person, or they know they're in the wrong career, but they choose not to think about it that much. They choose not to let it bother them. They say, well, it's only another 25 years till I'm 85 and I can die, right? Like, that's all it is. And if they do think about how bad things are, they quickly rationalize them. They quickly make excuses. They push the thought out of their head, or they use whatever it is they're addicted to make it go away, right? Whether that's food, drugs, alcohol, sex, gambling, whatever, right? What they really need to do is savor the flame. This traumatic event, whatever causes you to have that holy shit moment, has to be powerful enough to shock you back to reality and sever that downward spiral of physical and emotional decay. Like, it has to literally wake up the zombie, right? So because of this, we have to break down before we break through. You can punch a mirror. You can get sent to rehab, right? Whatever that looks like, right? You can break down and cry, whatever it is, right? So this breakdown, remember, it's not a negative experience. It's merely the first step towards change and transformation. Remember, in order for the phoenix to be reborn, it must burn. So although the end of the path is positive and it's amazing and you become who you're always meant to be, this first stage is not pleasant. It's not pleasant, but it's necessary. So if you haven't experienced, like, if you haven't organically experienced this dramatic event and rude awakening, it's possible to create it artificially. And I'm not encouraging you to go out and put yourselves in the depth of hell or have that, like, super angry punching a mirror moment, but sometimes all it takes is a few selfies, honestly, or it takes getting rejected a few times on Tinder or whatever, right? It's amazing how we can look in the mirror daily and yet never really see ourselves. Photos usually cut through the ego-defending mental blocks. So if you can handle it, if you believe that you're strong enough and you really want this transformation badly enough, create your own painful reality check, right? This may even be, forget the photo part, right? Again, this isn't just about the physical. Think about asking a best friend or even an ex significant other if they think you have a problem regarding addiction or something, right? So usually the first stage of the phoenix occurs naturally. We can make it artificial, right? But just recognize the rock bottom for what it is. Is something awesome. It is something that you dive down into in order to propel upwards. Savor the flame. Anger and the decision to change is step two, right? People who succeed in anything in life don't do it accidentally or in a half-assed manner. No one has ever made a radical physical, emotional, financial transformation by kind of, sort of wanting it, maybe being all in, or, you know, trying. That word. I'm nauseous. You guys know I hate the word try, right? Real transformation in your life involves laser-like focus, near obsession with the thing you want, and honestly, a total disregard for what other people may think, right? Rather than a blurry, lackadaisical, I'll do it when it's convenient decision to make changes, the beginning of a successful transformation involves an emotional outburst, usually anger, and then I'm going to do something about it. I'm going all in. Let's go. I'm investing. I'm doing the thing, right? Phoenix dies in the fire, reborn in the fire. Self-directed and healthy anger is your fuel in the process. You must get mad, combust, and feed the fire until you break the old habits and rebuild new ones relative to your goals. This is often the difference between people who succeed and who don't. The unsuccessful person has a weak moment, makes excuses, gives in. The successful person gets mad, stokes the fire, and stays strong. I had a client ask me a couple weeks ago. I made a reel about it. She said, "Do I have to eat like a bodybuilder forever?" Like, I don't know why she picked bodybuilder. What she means is eat clean. And I said, "Listen, here's the truth. You don't have to do this forever, but you know, once upon a time, Warren Buffett focused very hard on his finances and on learning and studying the stock market and developing an algorithm for how he was going to invest in stocks. And it probably came at the detriment of maybe his marriage, some of his friendships, perhaps his physical health. But as soon as he figured it out, he could go back to being whatever, a husband, a father, a good friend, maybe a guy who plays golf, right? So I'm not asking you to devote your entire, right? If you want to be a good wife, you should probably spend an unreasonable amount of time reading articles from the Gottman Institute or self-development books or in therapy for yourself to be a better partner for your significant other. But then there will come a point where you can ease off the brakes a little bit, right? So this anger, it's not like you have to hold it in your heart forever. You just got to do it until you become really good at the thing you want or until you achieve the thing you want, right? So feel it, feed it, right? Again, stoke the flame, use it healthy, and then channel it towards what you want, right? Anger is good. Anger works. Anger often clarifies. It cuts through and it will capture the essence of your spirit. You will get what you want out of it, but just don't stay angry forever. Go all in. Then we get the transformation itself, right? The next step is the grunt work of the transformation process. It's the nutrition program, the training, the lifestyle changes. It's investing in a mentor for whatever industry you're in. It's investing in a seminar or a course, right? Whatever you want to get better at. I mean, in this room, obviously, you've invested in yourself. You're doing the transformation, but there might be another area, right? Like I just mentioned, like, again, you want to be a better significant other, take a course from the Gottman Institute, do something related to love, right? This process could take 6 weeks or it could take 6 years, right? This, just because there's a, you know, 12 weeks on the front end doesn't mean that's where it ends. That's like what gets us from stage one to stage two, maybe stage three, right? Like you could just be at the 10-week mark of working with me. And like Lynn mentioned, now you have your eureka moment, right? That doesn't mean that Lynn lost the last however many weeks. No, it just took us this amount of time to get to this point, right? And that's okay. The most successful people in the world, right, seldom rest on their laurels and become satisfied with their self-development. There are always improvements to be made. 1% here, 1% there, little bit better every day, right? They never quit or regress, because they're always moving forward towards a new goal. More muscle, less fat, more money, healthier relationships, becoming stronger inside and out, more self-esteem. The second part, the other side of this, is recognizing that the reason that this process could take 6 weeks or 6 years is because there are often setbacks and false starts during the initial transformation, right? How many clients have I had saying, "Okay, Jamie, now I'm ready," or like, "Okay, today is day one," and I get it. I've had those 100%, right? Most people attempt full transformations once, twice, maybe even four times before finally succeeding. The secrets to mid-transformation continuance or adherence, right? Making sure that we avoid more than one or two setbacks, are number one, keep the fire burning. Stay mad. Remember your why. Look at those photos again. Remember that discussion you had with your ex. Look at your bank account if that's bothering you, right? Remember, you're doing well, but you're not there yet. So remind yourself, right? It's great to pat yourself on the back, and I highly encourage this. If you're climbing up the ladder, Look at how far you've come. Look down. Say, wow, I did all that. I started that. But then keep yourself humble. Look up and say, okay, I still have some more to go. And then number two is don't get satisfied. Like I just said, right? The person who needs to lose 40 pounds, they might start off by losing 15 and they get complacent, right? This is where they start to self-sabotage. They consider themselves successful. And to an extent they are, right? Nobody's saying that losing 15 pounds isn't successful. It absolutely is. But if your goal is 40, then there's still more to do, right? But again, in anything in life, guys, don't settle for okay results. The two most dangerous words in the English language are good enough. Everyone in this room is better than that. The phoenix was made to fly. You guys were born to excel. There is so much more out there for you, and that's what I want. So realize that setbacks will happen. Keep your fire burning. Never be satisfied. Be happy, but never satisfied. Stage four, continued progress, but also fear of regression. So there are two sides to this. There's positive feedback, which is your reward, but there's also fear of regression or loss. So those who maintain or continue to improve after a physique transformation or after they get married or once they're in the career that they want, right? They're often hypercritical of themselves, right? Just like using the negative emotion of anger can lead to positive change, having super high standards for yourself can be a useful tool in maintenance or continued progress. I say this to you guys all the time, right? How you do one thing is how you do everything. I believe that people who are super successful in their physique transformation are also probably great partners. They're great friends. They're awesome employees or maybe even employers. They're fantastic CEOs, right? Because that tool of discipline and wanting more for yourself is now applied to so many other areas of your life, right? Often though, people are derailed by other people during their transformations, but more often than not, we are our own worst enemies. After all, while other people may distract us, sabotage us, or tempt us, we are the ones who let them. It is not your significant other's fault that you overate at dinner, even though they suggested a restaurant. You still made the conscious choice to order what you did, right? Or if they suggested or planned an impromptu staycation, you can go for a walk. That is an option, right? So you allow those people into your real estate. So two things are key, the positive feedback and the fear of regression. Okay. So positive feedback, right? Like I just said, when you guys start to embark on your journey, even if it's just water that you've increased, you're getting positive feedback from your body, right? You become hyper aware of how everything has changed, right? You start to just feel a newfound sense of whatever it is for you. And when someone is rewarded, they tend to repeat that behavior. If working out felt good the first time you did it, you're going to go back for more, right? If your gut felt better eating more vegetables and fiber, you're going to keep doing that. Once you've experienced the reward of your new body and what it feels like to treat that in a specific way, it is easy to stay on track. And in fact, you're also not going to ever want to go back. So not only is it great for moving forward, it's great as a reminder of what it felt like to never want to be there again. And there is wherever it is you started, right? Hyper accountability. Guys, this is so important. Okay. Adopting an attitude of hyper accountability is critical to long-term transformation. And we can learn two things from the mental health and medical fields. Okay. So first of all, if you look at various psychological disorders, eating disorders included, and I obviously speak from experience, they ground themselves in the sense of being out of control, right? That emotion is at the root cause of so many conditions, from depression, right? When you feel like you have no control over the black cloud that's sitting above your head, to eating disorders. If a human being doesn't feel somewhat in control of their environment, bad things begin to happen, right? But I guess the contrary is the sense of being in control during illness has been shown to lead to faster recovery rates, right? Like they have studied the placebo, I don't think it would be called placebo, but the effect of mindset in recovery in cancer patients. Like, does chemo help? Absolutely. Am I against chemo radiation? Absolutely not. But when a patient believes they're going to get better, right, it almost does more than the chemo itself, whereby a person who feels a loss of control or like this is the end or what use is chemo, this and that, they are more likely to succumb to the illness, right? I've had clients who have gotten better from, who have healed. I don't want to say gotten better, who have healed from depression because they're like, if I just leave my house to get steps, I want another battle. If I can just bring myself to cook a meal today, I've won another battle. And those battles eventually end up winning you the war against depression, against anxiety, against PTSD, right? You're in control. You are responsible. You are hyper accountable to yourself, right? Picture a video game. You are Zelda in your little quest. You can get there. Stay accountable to yourself, right? This is reality. So even though it is hard to, I guess, fathom, if you've never felt that level, just to summarize everything, if you've never felt that level of anger, I get that it can be hard, but in our context here of the Phoenix theory, negativity can absolutely fuel our physical and emotional transformation fire. And that's your Monday morning mindset shift. I appreciate you listening. If you loved what you heard, subscribe, like, share, and tag me in stories about this podcast. I'll share back. Until next time, the glass is always half full, my friends.